Amen. I sure don't want to, and I apologize if I've been trying too hard here lately and have made it tense. Amen. Y'all are really some of the easiest people. I know you're not going to believe this, but I've said it everywhere I've went. I tell it to preachers that are coming. Some of the easiest folks to preach to, you all are. You love preaching, amen, as much as anybody does. And I guess sometimes I expect too much out of you, and I try too hard myself. But, amen, wanting to move of God so bad. Amen, so bad. Hallelujah, and I believe it will come. Canaan land is just in sight. Can you say amen? Amen. You children's church workers and Sunday school teachers, don't be discouraged. I know that there's a great, great battle, I guess, going on for the children of this town. And, you know, we don't have a monopoly on them. It's America. They've got choice. But I won't tell you. Let's begin to pray. Amen. I believe children are important, and we need to, and we're going to continue to work that. But I'll tell you what, it's not enough to just bring children for a daycare, send them back home because mom and dad need a couple hours off, and so they send their kids to church. We need a revival that God reaches into those apartments, to them daddies and them mamas. Amen. And grabs a hold of their heart. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Glory to God. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me read this. I failed to read it this morning. Amen. God has led two lives to take one path. Victoria Lane Evans and Garrett Ashton Jones, together with their parents, request the honor of your presence as they begin their journey together Saturday, November 9th, 2013, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Knob Hill Tabernacle in Azel, Texas. Praise God. So we are going to Knob Hill Tabernacle in Azel, Texas. We've heard about it, and we'll be there. Amen. To be in that joyous occasion. Amen. Of Garrett and Victoria. And if you don't know Victoria very well, she's a very sweet young lady. Amen. Hallelujah. She's going to be a blessing around here. I really feel that with all my heart. Are y'all with me? Amen. Now, I know that if you try to map it out in your own mind, and maybe you thought things ought to go different, but I believe we're right smack in the middle of the will of God. Amen. What I'm getting ready to talk to you about tonight. Amen. Before I'm done, I'd like the attention of every young person. Amen. And I think we will have your attention. Praise God. I think the church will be rejoicing. And I'm just going to try to preach to you right here. Amen. Out of these verses. Verse 13, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now you think about that. Your loved ones that are asleep in Jesus. Woo! God, Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself, he's not sending Moses, he's not sending Elijah, he's not sending Abraham or Isaiah. For the Lord himself, Jesus, the same Jesus you see going away, is coming back. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Woo! Oh, you'll see mama again, Darnell. Oh, yeah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint us with the power of the Holy Ghost. That you would open their ears to hear, Lord, anoint them. Oh, God, to receive the word of God. I pray, oh, Lord, let us rejoice in the truth of your word. Oh, the wonder of your book. The greatness of your plan. You're not a small deity, Lord, but you're great and you're greatly to be praised. I pray, oh Lord, help us to grab a hold of it tonight. We'll give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. Glory to God. I want to preach to you tonight, if the Lord would help me. I'd like to preach about when God puts it in reverse. Amen. When God puts it in reverse. I've mentioned this several times in preaching. And it's been on my heart for some time now. As I got this message and I thought about that, when God puts it in reverse, I was reading, I was studying, I come across something that was very intriguing to me. Amen. And it's amazing of the wonder of this book. And there is going to come a time when God will seemingly put it in reverse. Now, I know that God stands outside of space, time, and matter. And that God in himself, being the self-existent one, that he actually is not going to go in reverse. But his plan, even the plan of this Bible from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, he has had a plan. He had several men writing this book. Different vocations at different times. He's been writing, and yet this book is so unified. It is a miracle. I won't tell you the Bible's not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the decade or the book of the century. This Bible is the book of the ages. And when this earth is on fire, amen, it will be forever settled in the heavens. This word of God that I'm preaching to you about tonight. But when I thought about when God puts it in reverse, I got this thought and I said, Lord, I need a text. And as I was thinking over the text, it seemed like to me that the Holy Ghost led me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And it seems that this chapter that we are all familiar with, Brother Kurt, that this chapter right here is pivotal. Amen. In the plan of God. It is pivotal, amen, in the church of the living God. It is pivotal that it come through Israel and to it is now. And right here, this chapter, it seems to be the pivotal point, amen, of the book. I mentioned to you this morning about those 69 weeks of Jacob. I can't go through all of that tonight. But the 69 weeks that Daniel preached about, or the 70 weeks of Jacob, 69 weeks of them have been fulfilled. And those 69 weeks, they started. You can read this in the Bible from the time that Nehemiah began to build that wall. Amen. It started in the 69 weeks. That's 69 years of 69 times 7. And we find that right at the triumphal entry, amen, those 69 weeks were taken care of. And now from that time until now, that we have been in the time of the Gentile. We have been in the age of grace. Amen. It has been the time of the church. Amen. God had a plan. He started it out through Abraham and through Israel and through Moses and the law. Amen. Brought it down through the prophets. Amen. Came in to where a little virgin. Amen. Gave birth to a child. And 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah said, he will be the wonderful. He will be the counselor. He will be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and his government shall be upon his shoulders. His government will not break down. His government will not shut down. He is the King. But I want to tell you those 69 weeks, amen, were fulfilled from Nehemiah to the triumphal entry. Amen. And because the church of the living God was not a part of them first 69 weeks, that 70th week is 7 years that are left, and it is the time of great tribulation. It is a tribulation that is going to try this whole earth. Are you hearing me? It's going to be like this world has never seen. I want to tell you, people are appalled when 200,000 are dead, swept away during a tsunami. And they ought to be. But I'm telling you, when this time of great tribulation comes, amen, this 250,000 is just a drop in a bucket to the carnage and the bloodshed and the people that will be killed by the sword and by famine and by the very, amen, elements of this world. Are you with me? Now, when I look at this book, I see the design of the Bible and see the unity of the Bible. It's staggering to me when we look at Genesis and Revelation. Amen. And we see how in between the book of beginnings and the apocalypse, everything is woven. One man said it is woven with a scarlet thread. The blood, amen, intertwined through, amen, the historical books and the prophets and the psalms of, and the poetry and the gospels. It's that blood. Amen. It makes it a living book. Are you with me? Now, I know in the book of Genesis and Revelation, both of them we read of the tree of life. Both of them we read of the river. We read of a bride. We read of a walk of God with man. In the book of Genesis, paradise is closed. In the book of Revelation, there is a new paradise that is opened. In the book of Genesis, amen, there is a dispossession through sin. But yet in the book of Revelation, we see a repossession through grace. In the book of Genesis, the curse is imposed, or it is cast down or put on man. In the book of Revelation, we see that the curse is removed. In the book of Genesis, the access to the tree of life is denied. But in the book of Revelation, we see where the access to the tree of life is reinstated, and the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nation. In the book of Genesis, we see the beginning of sin and sorrow and death. Amen. But in the book of Revelation, we find where there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. In the book of Genesis there, amen, in the garden, we see sin defiling and sin despoiling. But in the book of Revelation, we read of a city where nothing that defileth, amen, shall enter in. In the book of Genesis, man's damned dominion is broken by the fall. Sin causes him to fall, and he loses dominion. And the power of darkness and the king of this world, amen, the prince and the power of this world, the devil, usurped authority. But in the book of Revelation, we see it restored once again through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Genesis, we see the evil triumph of the serpent as he beguiles man. But in the book of Revelation, we see the ultimate triumph of the Lamb of God, amen, that stomped on the devil's head. In the book of Genesis, amen, the walk of man with God is interrupted. But in the book of Revelation, we find that man will be with God. Amen. He will be our God, and we will be in that eternal city. Are you with me? The garden in the book of Genesis gives way to the city in the apocalypse. In Genesis, sin is in its beginning, but in Revelation, we see it in its culmination. The man of sin, the Antichrist, the harlot, the false prophet, and the beast. We see sin in its, amen, culmination. But in the book of Genesis, we see sentence passed on Satan. He said, between thee and the woman, amen, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. And it, his, amen, shall bruise thy head, and you will bruise his heel. We see the sentence passed on Satan. But in the book of Revelation, we see the sentence executed when a mighty angel, amen, takes that devil with a great chain, amen, binds him and throws
throws him into a lake of fire. I want to tell you, Genesis created the anticipation. Amen. Come on now. And you and I that are sitting here tonight, we anticipate Canaan land. That's why excited us while we sung about it. A land where there is no sorrow. A land where there is no pain. A land where there is no, amen, trouble. Amen. Every one of us, we anticipate that land. But I want to tell you in the book of Revelation, amen, heaven's not always going to be a dream. One day it's going to be a reality. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And at the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I want to tell you, church, we are not going to lose. We are not going to be overcome. Amen. When it's all said and done, we're going home to be with Jesus in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, thank God for the hope of the rapture. Amen. Hear me tonight. Hallelujah. Genesis was the foundation stone of all the Bible. But Revelation is that capstone. Are you hearing me? And when you think, how in the world could Genesis and Revelation be so intertwined? I'll tell you how. By God. This book is God-breathed. This book is God-inspired. This book, amen, hallelujah, is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. But listen to me. I'm not going to preach very long. Amen. God put it into drive. When he created this world, in the beginning, amen, God created the heavens and the earth. That's all I need. I don't have to argue with the professor. Even by faith, I believe that God did what he said he was going to do. I don't know when it was, but as a watch tells me the design and the workmanship of that man that built that watch, I want to tell you, creation speaks of a creator. Amen. Oh, yes, the heavens declare, amen, the firmament and his power. Look in the stars. I don't have time to go into all that. But God created. And then along the line it seemed that creation was ruined. Even the earth was without form and without void. But thirdly, God's moving forward. The earth is blessed. 6 days the world is created. Amen. And then it is cursed because of sin. The devil trips up Adam. The devil trips up Eve. But God's moving forward. Mankind has dealt with the whole from Adam to Abraham. He deals with Adam. He deals with Seth. He deals with Abraham and Lot. But there comes a time that God moves forward. And he says to Abraham, come out from among them and be ye separate. And I'm going to make of thee a great nation. You're going to be blessed. I'm going to bless you. And them that curse you, I will curse. And you know the story. Tonight you and I are blessed by Abraham. We have been washed in the blood. Amen. Why? Amen. Because Jesus came through the seed of Abraham that you and I could be saved. But God didn't stop there with a chosen nation that he called and blessed. But he kept moving forward until when the fullness of time was come, the hillside lit up and the angels begin to sing. Amen. Tidings of great joy. Amen. Peace on earth. Amen. Goodwill toward men. A virgin. Amen. Bore a baby there in Bethlehem. Amen. In a stable. The Lamb of God was born. Bethlehem, the house of bread. The living bread came. Are you with me here? Amen. Come on now. God's moving forward. Jesus lives. He walks among us. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He unstops the deaf ears. He does everywhere he goes. He is doing good. Amen. God is moving forward. Amen. He goes to Calvary. He dies on an old rugged tree. comes out of the grave on the third day. Hallelujah. He had seen 50 days. And then he ascends to the Father. Amen. At 50 days Pentecost, he sends back the power. Amen. And the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. And the church of the living God is born. And to where I'm standing right now, on November 3rd in 2013, amen, God has been moving forward. He's continuing to move forward. He's not stopped. He's not turned back. He's not hesitated. He's took his time. He does it in a hurry. Amen. Because the long suffering of the Lord is our salvation. Are you hearing me? But then, amen, right here in my text, we have the pivotal point. We have the place where God takes the gear shift and he puts it into reverse. Amen. Because he takes the church out of here. Are you hearing me? Amen. This day, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you right now. Hallelujah. It comes to the pivotal point. Right here, the Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout at the voice of the archangel and at the trump of God. Are you hearing me? Amen. When the church is completed, amen, just before the 70th week begins, just before tribulation hits this world, amen, according to Ephesians 3:21, when the building that is fitly framed together, it groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Amen. When the last one that will receive grace, amen, is received. Amen. He's coming for his church. And he's going to pull his church out of here. Amen. And all of a sudden, amen, God is going to put it in reverse. But it's not going to take him 6,000 years. Amen. This time, it's going to be 7 years. His love has been spurned. His mercy has been scoffed at. Amen. But now the wrath of the Lamb is here. Amen. The church won't be here. He's not leaving the church here to be beat up by the devil. He's not leaving the church here. Amen. Come on now. They that have kept his word and haven't denied his name, he's going to deliver them out of the hour of temptation. We're going to the beam of judgment. We're sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you hearing me? We'll be with him. We'll be in glory. The church! We will be in heaven. There will be those that are left here on earth that will be lost forever. He puts it in reverse. Now notice this. The church is taken up to be with Christ. And then we have Christ's second advent. Amen. I know there's going to be a tribulation. And then he's going to come and he's going to rule and reign. And then step back down. The chosen nation is going to be blessed again. He's going to deal with Israel. They're going to go through the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, they are going to look up. And they are going to see him whom they have pierced. Amen. The curse will be removed. Yes, it will. Satan's final rebellion. But he will be thwarted. This time he won't deceive man. This time Jesus is coming. This time he's sending his mighty angel. This time the devil, amen, is not going to win. But he's going to be bound with a mighty chain. And he's going to be cast into a bottomless pit. And then he's going to come out for just a short time. Amen, brother. He's going to begin to deceive the people again. That's how crafty the devil is. But he's not going to tolerate it. Amen. Jesus is going to take him and throw him into a lake of fire. And then Revelation said this. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Come on, somebody. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. There was no more death. There were no more sorrow. There was no more crying. There was no more pain. I know we live in a church world. They hate the rapture. I know we live in a world that doesn't want anything to do about the second coming. But I'm telling you, even though they're scoffing, even though they're mocking, amen, we're getting ready to go home. Canaan land is just inside. There'll be no more sorrow in that bright tomorrow. I'm telling you it's not very far off that we're going home. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Peter wrote it like this when he said this second epistle. Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own ungodly lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water, it perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? I want to tell you, if we could get a vision tonight, amen, that Jesus is getting ready to come. Amen. Come on now. And great tribulation is coming upon this world. Amen. I wouldn't have to beg you to live holy. I wouldn't have to ask you to come to church. You'd be here. Amen, because you won't want to be here when God puts it in reverse. I want to go out of here when he's still in forward, when he takes us in the clouds and he takes us home. I don't want to be here when he puts it in reverse. You may think you do. There ain't nobody alive, if they knew what was getting ready to happen, would want to be left here. Jude said, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, amen, having not the sensual, having not the spirit. I'm telling you, church, I'm almost through. Hallelujah, don't quit me yet. Amen. I know we're living in a day when holiness is not popular. I know that we are living in a time when sanctified living is scorned. I know we're living in the time of Noah's day. Amen. People are eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Are you hearing me? Amen. And we are scoffed and we are mocked as being the preachers of righteousness. Your life ought to be preaching. Righteousness means just being right. Amen. Up on the face of this globe, they hate people that steal. Amen. Believe that marriage is the padlock. Amen. That believe that fornication is sin. And all the lewdness that goes on in our world, they can't stand it. They mock it. They make fun of it. Just like they did Noah. Amen. But there is coming a day when God Almighty is going to slam this thing into reverse. And you don't want to be caught in the crosshairs. Amen. Of the wrath of the Lamb. You don't want to be left here after the church is gone. I'm telling you, it was a great day. Amen. That day on Mount Moriah when Abraham led Isaac to the top of that mountain. And God said, Abram, Abram, amen, there's a lamb in the thicket. It was a great day. It was a great day on the top of Mount Sinai when Moses received the law in the midst of thunderings and lightnings. It was a great day on the top of Mount Carmel when Moses, when Elijah, he prayed a 63 word prayer and the fire fell from heaven. It was a great day when the angels sang, amen, there was a babe born in Bethlehem. It was a great day when Jesus said, on the cross, it is finished. It was a great day when he came out of the tomb on the third day. It was a great day when they stood there and he said, the same Jesus that is going away, I will come again. But the greatest day on the horizon of time, just a few more weary days and then, and I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, amen, again. I'm telling you, it's a great day. He's coming for his church. Amen. He's going to pick us up and take us to glory. But those that are not ready, he's going to slam it into reverse. And he's going to start going backwards like I told you. Oh, you better repent, old backslider. Amen. It's filled with your own ways. You better empty yourself out. I'm afraid there's multitudes of people like Samson. Amen. They're going to church. They're not even going to know the Spirit of the Lord has departed from him. He's moved on them at times. Amen. Gave them mercy, trying to help them. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord is going to depart from them. And they'll wist not that he's gone until their eyeballs register the headlines. Until their eyeballs look on the blogs and they say, amen, thousands are gone. Till their ears hear the report that many are vanished. And then it's too late. Amen. Darkness. Amen. The light is gone. The salt is gone. The church is gone. Hope is gone. You're praying mama's gone. You're praying daddy's gone. Amen. My God, listen to me, young folks. Amen. You children are getting old enough now, Steve and Braylon and Jacob. Amen. You don't want to miss the rapture. You don't want mama and daddy to be gone. And you left here when God puts it in reverse and the wrath of God is being poured out and the wrath of the nations is being poured out and the wrath of the devil is being poured out from beneath. You don't want to be here. When the church follows him in forward and he takes us around the throne, they say, who's able, who's worthy to open the book? John weep because nobody was able. But then Jesus goes and gets that 7-band sealed book and begins to break them seals. While he's breaking the seals with the church in glory, the wrath of God is being poured out on earth below. Oh, God. Hear me, backslider. Heal me. Hear me, you that are filled with your own ways. Hear me, you that may be playing church. You don't want to wait until the church is gone. It'll be too late. You think it's wicked now. Amen. In the moment the church is gone, I've said this before, it'll be so dark, it'll feel like the darkness of Egypt. It'll be so dark, you'll be able to feel it. Evil will be, amen, unrestricted. It will be unrestrained. Amen. There will be hatred. God will have put himself in reverse. And oh yes, he's everywhere. But he will just leave this world, amen, to the enemy. Amen, to the Antichrist, to the devil. And then from heaven above, he's going to be pouring out his wrath on an ungodly world that rejected him, an ungodly world that scoffed at him, an ungodly, oh, the love of God will be used up. And then the wrath of God, hear me now, in Revelation 6:8, and I looked and saw a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Amen. A fourth of them, 1,750,000,000 people are going to die right at the beginning of the tribulation. Can you imagine that? We are staggered at 200,000. I said 1,750,000,000. Amen. In this time of tribulation. Amen. You say, how can a God of love, amen, do that? He's been warning man, amen, for thousands of years. He's been waiting patiently, and they've rejected him. They pushed him off. They have spit in in his face. He said, come. And they say, no. He says, I will forgive. And they say, I don't want it. He said, I will give you pardon. And they've snuffed him. They've hardened their neck. Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach. One point. 1,750,000,000. And you know what's bad about that, church? You read Matthew 24, talks about the false prophets and all those things. It's talking about the four horsemen of the book of Revelation. This is the fourth horseman. What is so bad about that is this. Amen. Now listen, for the church, Canaan land is just inside. But for you that are playing church, I'm trying to wake you up as the man of God and as the shepherd, poking you with a staff. Amen. Trying to wake you up. Are you hearing me? Amen. I'd like to say 1,750,000,000. Amen. That was it. But that's just the beginning of sorrow. That's just the beginning of sorrow. To be left. The Bible said, lo, a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. And the moon as blood. My God, listen to me, children. You better make sure you've been born again. Mom and daddy gone. Even the earth, the moon turns to blood. The sun becomes as black as sackcloth. There's an earthquake that is so powerful that it's felt around the world. It's one of three that are to come. Are you hearing me? The stars of heaven, they begin to fall unto the earth as the fig tree that casteth away her untimely figs, which she shaketh of a mighty wind. Every mountain, every island is moved out of place. It's just the beginning of sorrows. And the Bible said, kings and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men hide themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Rich men, what are you going to do with your money now, Bill Gates? What are you going to do with your money now, Phil Knight? What are you going to do with your money now, LeBron James? Amen. Kings and great men, they're going to look for somewhere to hide. Amen. And they're going to say, under the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that setteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to escape? I'm telling you tonight, amen, when God puts it in reverse, it's going to be terrible. You don't want to be left here. So I'm saying, while it's moving forward, while the church is still here, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from your wicked way. You need to shake yourself from your apathy and your backsliding and say, oh God, I want to get on board. I want to move on forward. I want to go to the Bema seat. I want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't let me be left here when you put it in reverse. Amen. As my wife comes, we've had ample time to shout tonight. More important than some of you shouting and singing a solo to make sure you ain't full of your own ways. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You children, maybe you older ones understand, 1 billion, that's a lot of people. 750 million, that's a lot of people. A lot of people. That's 25% of the world is gone at the beginning. Then the Antichrist sets up. I know that sounds awful, but hear me tonight, you that are sitting here. You don't have to miss it. The old gospel ship is still here.
you wait around and you keep telling God no, when God's telling you, give that up, when God's telling you, let go of this, when God's telling you, you need to do this, and you keep telling him no, and you keep disobeying him over and over and over again, amen, you're going to miss the trumpet. You're going to miss going with that Philadelphian church that's going with God when God's still moving forward and into glory. And then God's going to put it in reverse. And those that are left on earth are headed back, and it's going to be trouble. Mark of the beast. Where you can't buy or sell unless you got his mark. Huh? And if you don't take his mark, they'll take your head. I'm telling you, I don't believe the church is going to be there. I really don't. With every fiber I've got in me and through my studying. But if you miss the rapture and have pleasure in your unrighteousness, you have pleasure in your movies that are blaspheming God's name, glorifying adultery, homosexuality, fornication, drinking, and every other type of vice. But you like it. You have pleasure in it. You're not going. Hear me. Everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight, with the Spirit of God dealing and drawing in this place and conviction settled in this house, you're getting your call tonight. Don't kid yourself in thinking, I'll just wait and I'll give my life for Jesus, because there's going to be a strong delusion. And they that had pleasure in unrighteousness will be deceived, deluded, and damned. Amen. God help. With you standing all over the building, we've rejoiced about Canaan land. The church, we've got happy preaching on the rapture, but now I'm down to where preachers got to do what preachers are called to do, and that's try to wake somebody up that is slumbering and sleeping. Somebody that's playing around with the Lord, playing around with your convictions, gambling with your soul, going and doing things when nobody knows, but God Almighty knows, and you better not miss the rapture. Hear me, Dayla, Dara, Kaylee, preacher's girls can miss the rapture. Being TD's daughter does not get you into heaven. Being raised in your church and raised in church all your life don't get you to heaven. You must be born again. It all starts at the foot of the cross. And if you're struggling tonight and the world's a pulling at you, you better shake yourself tonight. Make up your mind. They can have the whole world, but give me Jesus. Because I don't want to be here when God puts it in reverse. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You go ahead, parents, and shield your children from this kind of preaching. You develop a philosophy that your children don't need to be scared. You're putting shoes on their feet to send them to eternity, because it's the fear of God is what this generation needs, not velvet slippers. Hear me. Jesus is getting ready to come. Are you ready? Every head bowed, eye closed. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready or not, he's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. You be sat down with all the boys. Act like that they're the ones doing it, but you're enjoying it just as much as they are. He's coming, ready or not. Ready or not. Ready or not. He's coming. Amen. I want you to come around. I want everyone to come around. Every child of God to come around. Here tonight, I want you to bow on your knees. Oh, there was plenty of time in the sermon. We could have just shouted and never made it to dealing with this, God putting it in reverse. But God wanted you to hear that he's getting ready to put it in reverse. Great wrath and the wrath of the Lamb. And children, you better be ready. You don't want to be left here and mom and dad be raptured out of here. Oh, can you imagine having to face the darkness of the sun as black as sackcloth, the moon as blood, the stars falling from the heavens, and you look for mama and she's gone, and you look for daddy and he's gone. Oh, you better be ready. You better be ready. You better be ready. You better be ready. Oh, God. In Jesus' name, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's coming like a thief in the night. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, those that used to be holiness and aren't living holiness now, they're going to miss it. They're going to miss it. But you must not miss it. You must hang on. You must endure unto the end. You must be saved. Oh, hallelujah. God bless. God help.